The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of good stuff, mostly draft, but also a little basketball there at the end. And we'll continue to do that this hour. Lots of good topics. So we're getting into the Rocket Spurs a little bit, and I think the Rockets are closer to the Spurs than you do in terms of, you know, how they play. And I think it's a real long shot to say I think they can win the series, because realistically, I think for them to win, they're going to have to go nuts shooting threes in three games and then win one the old-fashioned way. And I haven't seen anything really over the last month and a half that indicates to me they can do that.
I'll give three questions, and we'll see. I think that your answer to these three questions should shape the decision of who, if you think the Rockets have a chance or not. The first one, I think the most important question that can be asked before this series is James Harden healthy? How is James Harden's health? Because if the answer is no, if James Harden isn't 100%, there's no chance. I think we agree on that, right?
Right.
James Harden not only has to be healthy, he has to be good. The Spurs, they don't foul. You're not going to get 23 attempts from the free throw line per night from James Harden, is my guess. It's just not. I mean, if you go through every game they play, it doesn't happen. And you can go through the games that the Rockets have played against, but they don't do it. And they have a guy who can lock down on him. I think that if he is not, and not to say that he can't figure some things out against the Spurs, I think he can if he's healthy. But if he's not, I think that this whole conversation is moot.
713 says, been listening for a couple of years now. Fortunately, I've noticed that Fred's gut feeling, good or bad, about Houston teams is usually wrong. So that's a bit encouraging. Boy, I don't know the last time I've been wrong about a Houston team. Pretty much said they'd take care of the Thunder. I said the Texans would beat the Raiders and then get their butts kicked in New England. Kind of thought the Astros would go a little bit backwards last year. So, yeah, I don't know where you're getting that from.
How about it? My second question is, will LaMarcus Aldridge be better than he was against the Grizzlies? Because
I think he will be, because
he almost has to
defensively
be.
The Grizzlies offered more problems for him than the Rockets will.
Right. So he's going to have better opportunities. Will he take advantage of them? I think he will, because I think he's a great player. But I think that's a question. And then I think the other question is, defensively, is Mike D'Antoni, has he come up with a plan defensively to slow down the Spurs team?
And all those are fair questions, because in the end, and I was listening to Raheel and Granato a little bit this morning, which I assume that's why there's the golf channel is on in here, because Granato put it on and never changed.
Yeah, something about a playoff or something.
Yeah, I heard
on
him,
Monday.
Yes,
I don't know,
but from my understanding, that they said D'Antoni's never beaten
Popovich
in the playoffs. Yeah. So when it comes down to that, I know the Spurs are going to have an advantage. The bottom line is, I think it's close enough, but the Rockets on offense, what they scored five fewer points a game when they played the Spurs this year, which goes to the Spurs defense. The Spurs are going to play better defense as a whole than what Oklahoma City did. Now, I don't know, as good as Leonard is, I don't know that he can do a much better job on Harden than what was done in that series. But I think at the other positions, they're going to slow these guys down even more. A lot of the open looks that they got against the Thunder and didn't make are not going to be open looks in this series. So I think it's, you know, if the Spurs play at their pace, then it's going to be really hard for the Rockets. I think in order for them to win, they basically have to have three games where they go nuts on threes, which they can do. And early in the season, they were doing it. And then they're going to have to win one the old-fashioned way. And I think if they can do that, they have a chance in the series. And that's the real question, is do you think they can do that? And the bottom line, during the regular season, when it was down to crunch time in these close games, Leonard was better than Harden. If that's the case again, the Spurs are going to win. And but I think it's going to be competitive. I think the Rockets are going to keep it close. And I think they get at least six games.
I think, and here's the other, I guess there's another question. And it sort of relates back, it's sort of a crossover on the second and third question about what are they going to do defensively and will LaMarcus Aldridge play better? You would assume that, I mean, you're going to see a lot of Ryan Anderson. You're going to see a lot of Trevor Ariza on LaMarcus Aldridge. Maybe I'm crazy. He eats their heads. I mean, I don't know how small the Rockets are going to be able to go, because those two guys defensively have almost no shot against LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't think.
Let me throw some positives in this. Anderson cannot be worse than he was in that first series. It's impossible, right?
Offensively, he can't be.
And
defensively, he can be, because he's going to have to guard better players.
Yeah, I think having Nene out there a little more, the way he played that first round series and a rested old man like that,
yes,
in a short series helps them. And I think the key for the Rockets is Ariza and Anderson in particular have to shoot the ball better.
I honestly don't know if, and maybe I'm crazy, would the Rockets be better off at some points when you consider, especially when the Spurs have Gasol and Aldridge on the floor, would it be the worst thing to have Capella and Nene on the floor at the same time?
No, and I think that's something you might want to look at. And maybe you pull Harrell out of mothballs for some minutes.
Yeah. Again, if you're asking Ryan Anderson to stop LaMarcus Aldridge in the post, it's going to be disastrous.
Well, and I think the flip side of that is, and this is why to me it's important that guy makes some shots. If you're going to go with that lineup, then on the other end, he's got to make Aldridge and those guys pay with threes.
Yeah.
That's what has to happen. And the one thing that the Rockets cannot do in this series, and I've bitched about this for 3 years now, and Harden is as guilty as anybody, but those bad turnovers, throwing the ball into the backcourt, you can't do that against the Spurs.
Oh, I can't imagine they're going to take those kinds of chances against the Spurs team. I mean, if they do, forget about it. But that's something I'm expecting them to be much more careful with the ball.
I hope so. And if they do that, more efficient on threes, and play their pace, man, they have to keep trying to get the ball up and down the court with a little bit more, you know, certainly a little bit more than they did against Oklahoma City, and get the Spurs into that game and get, you know, they've got to get closer to 115 points. If they can do that, they can win. If they're coming in around 110, they're probably losing the games. I think it's going to be very interesting, though. And I do think the Rockets will be competitive in the series, but I don't think that's going to translate to a series victory. I can see a scenario, but it seems like a pretty long shot scenario to me. Miguel says, got my junior blitzer in the car with me. Can he get a junior shout out? # Jacob Flores. I guess he just did. I don't know about having juniors in the car. We've always said that's not necessarily a good idea. A32 says, tell me how the refs call the game and I'll tell you who wins.
I'm going back to this. The Spurs don't foul very much, and the Thunder do. And you saw James Harden get to the line quite a bit. The Spurs feel like they are good enough defensively to hold James Harden without fouling. And historically, they've had success doing that. So I think this is going to be called like most playoff games are called, which is they're going to let them bang a little bit And I think that's a lean towards the Spurs.
And a lot of people say, oh, they look so bad against the Grizzlies. Well, the Grizzlies can make you look bad. We talked about that before that series started.
The Grizzlies are not an easy out.
No, they aren't better than the Spurs. They weren't going to beat them, but they were going to make life difficult.
They're not going to roll over for anybody.
Yeah, and they were going to make them look bad. And
I said the same thing about the Jazz. And the Jazz were actually, once Blake Griffin was out, they were better than the Clippers, obviously. And Chris Paul didn't look great without Blake Griffin out there. But, yeah, the Jazz and Grizzlies were never going to be an easy out for anybody. And that's why we talked about leading up to the playoffs, how important it was for the Rockets to have the Thunder fall to that sixth seed, because that was the ideal matchup for them in the first round. Because if the Jazz would have been six, that would have been way tougher. If the Grizzlies would have been six, that would have been way tougher. The Rockets had the perfect first round matchup.
512 says everyone is picking the Rockets to win except for AJ. You might want to go look at ESPN.com.
Everyone locally, all these dudes who kissed Daryl Morey's ass. Okay.
No, if you're saying everyone, you might actually want to go do some research there, brother. So.
Yeah, I think that's I'm not the only one. There's no way I'm the only one, in fact. That's
just dumb.
That's a silly statement.
All right. I'll tell you what is not a silly statement is how much I love the beer at Saloon Door. We were there this weekend, or last Friday, actually, and for their first year anniversary, 1 year in. And these guys are doing great. And if you haven't been down there, you want a place to watch the game tonight. They got those projection TVs. We watched some of the draft Friday night there. And it's just a cool place to hang out in Webster. So if you're down that way, this should be your place to go. And they just released that Russian Imperial Stout, which I love. They had the Bourbon Vanilla Porter, which was fantastic. They released on Thursday. So two brand new beers. And I have to say, they're my favorite ones yet. If you like stouts and porters, man, they got you covered there. And all you have to do to check them out is go to saloondoorbrewing.com. All kinds of cool stuff besides the TVs. At Wednesday night, they have trivia night, which is huge. Thursdays, they have brews and bites. And they've got tons of flavors to choose from. So if you're into beer, whatever flavor you like, they've got you covered. Great, great people. Jason and Austin and Jeff and Josh and all those guys are at 105 Magellan Circle, Suite A in Webster. Less than half a mile behind Cinemark and Cheddar's off I-45 South. And go visit them. Tell them I sent you. They will take care of you. Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, saloondoorbrewing.com. Somebody sound the
alarm. Fire was set in the dark. Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. I just did a quick search of national experts picking the series.
Yep.
I only found 10. 7-3 Spurs. So you're not the only one picking the Spurs.
You know how I'm not the only one picking the Spurs? Series price, -300.
Yeah.
That's the same price the Celtics are getting versus the Wizards.
And I have the Spurs in 6, by the way. I might add that. Actually, it just, for betting purposes, if you like the Spurs in this series, I think if the Rockets are going to steal one, it'll be game one. I would hold off on the series price. If the Rockets win tonight, the Spurs price will go up, and then I bet it. And by the same token, if you're a Rockets fan who thinks they're going to win the series, I might wait a game, because if they're down 0-1, the price goes up even more. That's why I like waiting a game or two on these series prices. So, 713-780 ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's squeeze in a couple calls real quick. George, you're on the Blitz on a Monday. Happy Monday.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, you pretty much answered my question a while ago. I was going to ask you if the Rockets do have a chance to steal one, which game would it be? And I guess you said game one, but can you like elaborate and tell me why that is? I'll just hang up and listen.
Why you think the Rockets are going to win game one?
I think in theory, now the Spurs have had a little time off too, but hopefully they've had enough time to work out these shooting woes from Ryan Anderson's had a chance to work through his shooting slump. And I think if you're the Spurs, you're obviously going to be pretty confident coming into this. Spurs won't worry about losing a game. They'll be fine. So, that's why. But, That's why I think they can. And basically, road teams, if you're going to steal one, it's usually game one. Because once the other team adjusts, the Spurs to me will make better adjustments, and they'll make game two very, very difficult.
Yeah.
21 says the texter is probably referring to the fact that Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons both picked Houston in six, which surprises me. If I had one iota of respect for Bill Simmons, then I'd say, okay. But and I don't know who.
And Bill Simmons is very buddy buddy with Mr. Morey.
Well, yeah, because he's got that Celtics background. So 713-780-ESPN. Let's try Rick. What's up, Rick?
Hello, guys.
Hello, Rick. Sports.
Look, you guys, I want to get off of the Rockets and the Astros and all. What about, and the Texans, what about the University of Houston? Is this new coach going to be muddier on their defense? And who's the favorite Saturday at the Derby?
Well, favorite's probably going to be Classic Empire, and I'll talk a lot about that later in the week. But, I didn't get a chance to go out to the spring to see how these guys look. I'll get out to a couple practices in the fall, so I'm not really prepared to talk to you about UH right now. Sorry.
I don't think anybody's ready to talk about college football yet.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just seeing this from CBS Sports NBA. Warriors expecting ailing Steve Kerr not to return for the he's not coming back for the remainder of the playoffs.
Jesus, what the hell is wrong?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, and here is where the question comes. How important is a coach in the NBA? My guess is when you've got a team like the Warriors or you've got a player like LeBron James, the coach means almost nothing.
Yeah,
the one guy with that, they'll make an exception. There's two guys. I think Brad Stevens is very valuable to that team. I think he gets more out of that team than he should be getting out of it. And I think this, obviously, Greg Popovich, I think, is the best coach in the world.
Yeah, if Popovich were out, I think it would make a difference. Who would be coaching? Becky Hammon?
I don't know.
But that's I wouldn't think it would make a huge difference, but it will. It does make a difference in close games because that's where coaches can have their biggest impact and key adjustments in important situations, which I think Kerr has proven himself to be pretty good at. But they haven't really missed a beat when he hasn't been there, but they haven't been in a dogfight yet either. So
that might change because Mike Brown is their interim head coach right now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's going to be any dogfights with Utah.
No, but with San Antonio and Cleveland, there might be. There probably will be.
Don't rule out your Rockets yet. I've given them a 1 in 5 chance of winning the series. If they play the series 7 times, the Rockets would win one. Maybe this is the one. Drunk Bevo says, I'm counting the days until college football talk is a priority. Yeah, it's just there's just
it'll not, happen. It's just not
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, there's
you
just
have to count for a little while longer.
Yeah, that's there's just nothing to get to right now, and that's because basically, other than spring practice, which it means some for some teams, but if I'm not out there seeing what they're doing, I can't really comment other than what I've read, and I don't trust everything I read. So my apologies for that. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody asked, any right tackles worth trading for, and what value can the Texans afford to trade for? I don't know. I think, apparently Brandon Albert's not reporting in Jacksonville. Well, Jacksonville's not going to trade you a tackle, but maybe something comes up and they cut the guy, and you can go sign him. But I think there's going to be decent veterans that become available that aren't going to be – you're not getting a Pro Bowl right tackle. Let's just start with that. You're not going to get a star. You're not even going to get a guy who's above average, but if you can get an average guy who fits in with everybody else, and I think those guys will be there. And you take a chance on a guy who's been hurt, like a Clady, or you take a chance on if Sebastian Vollmer decides he's going to keep playing, you take a chance on a guy like that in hopes.
Yeah.
In hope, but a big name is not going to happen. I just don't see anything. And plus, they've traded all their assets.
They've gotten their cupboard is bare as far as what we can trade, because future draft picks have been mortgaged. You don't have depth at any position that you can feel comfortable trading players off. It's not like someone's going to take Alfred Blue for a starting right tackle.
That's
not the way trades
work. The only guy I could look at that a team might be interested in, I don't think they will, is maybe you could trade Brian Cushing for a backup right tackle. Then they'd have to take on his salary.
Yeah.
That might be the only guy I could look at on this roster and say, So, 713-780-ESPN. One more call. Billy, you're on the
board. Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, my question was, what are the chances that Deshaun Watson impresses Bill O'Brien enough in the preseason that he's maybe starting by week five? I hang up and listen.
Listen, I don't think it's as much about what Deshaun Watson does. I think it's about what Tom Savage does in weeks one through four. That will determine if Deshaun Watson's a starter by week five. I think if Tom Savage is functional, they want him to be out there as long as possible. Would you agree?
Yeah, although knowing Savage's injury history, I could see Watson starting by necessity by week five. Realistically, I think you're going to see what we've seen in the past with Bill O'Brien. He'll give it a long enough time before he makes a move. He'll be pretty sure that the guy he's putting in there is going to do a better job. And you don't give up that kind of haul for a guy unless you think you can win with him. So I would say week eight. I'll put the over-under on week eight. And if he's starting week one, I'd feel pretty good about him.
Really?
Yeah, because they've got their functional guy that they insist to us they can win with, right?
Yeah.
We think Tom Savage is a good quarterback, which is such bull bleep. You don't make that kind of investment unless, well, 2 years in a row, you've made major investments at the position. If you thought Tom Savage was a good quarterback you could win with, then you wouldn't have done that. But I think if he goes into camp and learns and is ready and is out there week one, I think that's a good sign. But I think week eight, more likely.
But if he's playing in week eight, isn't that a bad sign for the team?
It may mean they're 4-4. It may not be a bad sign necessarily, or maybe they're 5-3 and Savage is playing like crap.
And you like need, Osweiler did last year.
Yeah, just like last year. Oh, they need a spark. AKA says, Clippers laying another egg. Is it time to bust that up? Is there a team that could really use one of them?
I think there's teams that could use all of them.
Yeah.
I honestly think Oklahoma City is going to make a hard push for Blake Griffin. And there's not many guys who can go, like, who would look at Oklahoma City as like a homecoming. But remember, Blake Griffin's from Oklahoma. He'd be loved there. And if there's anybody whose style would mesh a little with what Russ Westbrook does, it might be Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the Clippers as constructed, I think we've seen their max potential, and their max potential is not enough. It's not getting to the Western Conference Finals.
And if you're CP3, isn't it time for you to do something else? And I saw a really good story about how he should go to the Spurs.
Well, Chris Paul also has to make that decision in his head. And this is a very difficult decision for some people to make. Am I good enough to win a championship if I'm the best player on the team? And so far, Chris Paul's had a pretty good number two and number three on his team with him and has not been able to win a championship. I think that Chris Paul's best chance to win a title would be if he were the number two on a team.
Well, I think if he went to San Antonio with those guys, I guess obviously, he probably is the number two. But
you're not. You're taking way less money. I mean, and honestly, San Antonio likes Patty Mills. You know, they think that's their point guard of the future.
And you know, Paul's been hurt. He's getting up there. But he would have to go to a team like that. And don't start with the Rockets. That would be a terrible fit because you've already got a ball-dominant guard. That just would not work. But I think he'd work pretty well in San Antonio. Hey, guys, were you in an accident this weekend? You have a friend who was in an accident? Workplace accident, car, truck accident, slip and fall accident? Well, you better dial Dave. Mestermaker and Straub, you're going to get free legal advice. Here's the thing. The initial consultation's free. They only get paid when they win. So if you're not sure if you need a lawyer, just give them a call right now and tell them what happened. Because they're going to be honest with you. If you don't have a case, they'll tell you. If they can't help you, they'll tell you. 713-626-8900. If you get hurt, man, it's hard to focus on medical treatment. You're dealing with insurance forms. Those insurance guys got lawyers. You need a lawyer, and you'll get a better lawyer if you go to my man Dave. And they have a specialized attorney who's going to deal with the insurance company so you can go on recovering. And they're based right here in Houston. And for my friends over in Beaumont, you've been in an accident, they can help you as well. And if you need medical attention, they're going to help put you with medical professionals. They're going to take care of everything for you. All you have to do is give them a call. 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. Or go to LawyerDave.com. They will put your mind at rest, and they'll answer any question that you have. And whether or not you need a lawyer or not, if you think you might, give them a call. Not going to cost you a dime to find out. They're my lawyers. They should be your lawyers. If you need one, LawyerDave.com or 713-626-8900. Better dial Dave.
ESPN 97.5.
The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. All right, so I'm going to give you some separate perspectives because we're on Deshaun Watson. Nick asked, why do people make it seem so unreasonable that Watson could start week one? Carr, Prescott, Wentz, Watson can be ready. Carr wasn't great starting week one.
He shouldn't have started week one.
Yeah, and Carson Wentz was not great starting week one. Those guys showed some promise, and Carr obviously developed. And I think Wentz will develop as well, but if you get what you got out of Carson Wentz last year, it's pretty much slightly better than Brock Osweiler.
Dude, so, asking anyone to be what Dak Prescott was last year, I think is unfair. And I really think Dak Prescott found himself in the perfect situation where he had a dominant offensive line, a dominant run game, a dominant number one receiver, a veteran tight end. He had so many things working in his favor.
That security blanket of Witten, too, was just huge.
And the Texans have a pretty good number one wide receiver. I mean, depending on which one shows up.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have a dominant offensive line. They have a pretty solid running game, in spite of the fact that they don't have a dominant offensive line. They've got a shaky tight end game. They've got no alternative receivers. The receiver depth after Hopkins is all question marks and coin flips at best.
Yeah, and now you hope that a guy like Braxton Miller gets better this year. You hope that Will Fuller is better than what he showed, but you don't know that.
Right.
And you're not going to know that. Now, the flip side is, this guy says, no way Watson can start except for desperation. He can't read a defense if it was written in Crayola. Same offense, same offensive coordinator. He still threw 16 picks. Not only must he learn a new O, but how to read a D, too. Well, and that, you know what that is, though? Some guys do learn that pretty quickly. That's I don't know what his learning curve is going to be. He might come in from day one and soak up everything. And by all indications, he's a smart kid. He should be able to do that. But that doesn't mean he'll be ready week one. I do expect him to be farther along than a lot of people think, because I do think he'll learn pretty quickly. And, you know, a lot of the interceptions last year, those are things he'll sit down with O'Brien, and not all of them were on him, but a lot of them were. There were some bad decisions in there. But I think I think he's going to be farther along than most people think. And I like his skill set, and I think he's a good long-term potential answer here. Doesn't mean it's going to work out. It always, like right now, I think Carson Wentz looks like he's going to be pretty good in Philadelphia for a long time. What if he regresses? It happens.
It does.
We see guys in RG3 his first year look like, oh my God, we've got the answer for the next 10 years. He gets hurt, and the next thing you know, he can't get a job anywhere. So you don't know. And hell, Andrew Luck hasn't been as good as the last couple of years as I thought he would be. I thought his career trajectory would continue to go up. I think it'll go back up. I keep believing it. But the reality is, you just don't know how soon a guy's going to be ready. If he goes out there and he's ready week one and they're confident enough in him to start week one, I'd feel pretty good about that. I really would. I'd feel like he picked up all these things a lot quicker than we were expecting.
But you've also seen examples of where just because a guy is – just because a team is going to throw him out there doesn't mean that he's ready.
Right.
Jared Goff got thrown out way before he was ready.
But in this case, I don't think they'll do that.
Like, I think back, and to me, a great example, and actually a guy that I sort of see a little bit of Watson in is EJ Manuel. And when the Bills drafted him, they said, this is a long-term project. We're slow rolling this. We're going to take our time and develop this guy the right way. And by the end of his rookie year, they were like, yeah, just kidding. We need him out there. And he was out there, and he never developed the way he should have. So that, to me, that's sort of the concern. And I think it's the same thing that happened with David Carr. Had David Carr had the luxury of sitting for a year or two and waiting for that offensive line to get a little bit better, maybe he's got a different story.
That's fair. I still think to this day that, you know, that situation was impossible, and there's not many guys that would have survived it. And I think there was some promise there for him to be a really good quarterback, but it was the wrong idea for them to throw him out there. But I like this kid. My big question is Bill O'Brien going to be able to get the most out of him? And if he doesn't, you'll have a new coaching staff here next year and somebody else who can step in and try to make it work. I like the guy. I'm very high on him. And I think in the right situation, he can be successful early. The only real question I have is, are you going to get him killed with this offensive line? And is Bill O'Brien going to be a good enough coach
to develop him?
Yes. And I think those are fair questions. And the reality is, if he is good enough and they do get good enough offensive line play and he comes out and plays pretty well, he doesn't have to be great to be better than what Brock Osweiler was.
Yeah.
He just has to be pretty average. And I think 2-3 years down the road, assuming they don't destroy him, he'll be better than that. Squeeze in a quick call. Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? Sports.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, guys. I've been watching a lot of ESPN, a lot of different Fox and whatever. And I keep hearing that the Texans are just one quarterback away, one quarterback away, one quarterback away. And I'm trying to figure out one quarterback away from what? I mean, I'm a Texans fan, you know, whatever, but I don't understand the one quarterback away.
I think
if you want to be realistic, every team is one quarterback away. So,
well, I think what they're saying is they are good at 21 spots on the field, and if they had better play from their quarterback, they're the type of team that contend for a Super Bowl.
I go, they're good at 19 or 18 spots on the field.
Okay.
There's a few holes in that offensive line.
Okay.
But yeah.
I think if going back to 2 years ago, I think you could have said they were good at 21 spots on the field. Now, maybe that number's getting smaller, and that's what I talk about with the window closing. Eventually, it's going to go all the way closed. But I do feel like the Texans are good enough with the rest of their roster that if they get good enough quarterback play, they can contend for a Super Bowl. I mean, if Matt Ryan played for the Texans last year instead of the Texans, they could have been in the Super Bowl. You know, and now obviously the jump from Brock Osweiler to Matt Ryan is ridiculous.
Right.
But am I one to sit here and say there's zero chance that Deshaun Watson turns into Matt Ryan eventually? Maybe he does. I mean, it seems a long shot. You know, Matt Ryan had a little bit more of he was a little more well-respected by scouts, NFL scouts coming into the NFL. But, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that that's what he could become. And if he does, the Texans feel like they've got enough to win.
I think he could be that. There's no doubt in my mind that he could be that. I just don't know. I don't know if he will. But the reality is, if you're going to be a legitimate contender, you've got to get through the Patriots. You've got to get through the Steelers. And now I think you're going to have to get through the Raiders, who've done a very good job of building this team, and the Broncos are still there. You need a quarterback that's going to play at an above average to elite level, and they haven't had that. And this guy can eventually do that. Is he going to do it next year? It's probably asking a lot.
It is.
But, you know, I think it's fair to say that 2-3 years from now, if he develops the way that I think he's going to develop, you'll have the quarterback. The question is, will you have enough around him?
Man, Matt Ryan, I'm looking at Matt Ryan's senior year. And
he threw like 18 picks.
Yeah, their stats are very, very similar.
But Matt Ryan played in a pro-style NFL offense. Yes. no one doubted that Matt Ryan's game could transition to the NFL. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he had a – I mean, Deshaun Watson clearly had a better college resume than Matt Ryan. I'm talking about from a what he's able to do, like as far as his ability to work into an NFL offense, Matt Ryan was considered miles ahead of what Deshaun Watson's considered. If that were the case, if Deshaun Watson had played in the same college offense that Matt Ryan did, he would have been the number one overall pick. But he didn't. That's why teams were so gaga over Mitch Trubisky. It doesn't matter what he did in college. He sort of understands a pro-style offense. He doesn't know what a hard two count is. Yeah. I'll never get over that.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Did you guys see that story about the 49ers and what they thought that the Bears were going to do, and then they ended up not doing that, and then they got their guy anyway at the end of the first round?
Well, yeah, they were prepared to take Foster with the third pick or trade down.
Yeah.
Was what they were going to do if the Bears had taken Thomas. And so the Bears didn't take Thomas. They took him, and then Foster was still there at the end. And I think the 49ers got two impact defensive players who are going to help them right away.
Yep.
So I thought they had a pretty good draft.
And I still don't understand the Reuben Foster fall. I understand that, like,
yeah,
he's not an ideal fit for a 3-4 defense. But there's a lot of teams in the league that could use a Reuben Foster and really make something out of him. And I think the 49ers are really lucky that he lasted as long as he did.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, you take a guy like that, you switch your defense up to fit him. You put him in positions within your defense that work. That's what good coaches do. So we shall see.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. The seasons are changing. We're wanting to spend more time outdoors. And, you know, if you've got an outdoor living area that's maybe not the prettiest, you can holler at the guys at Allied Outdoor Solutions to help you out. They can renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed-out patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay that gives the look and feel of real stone on your existing surface for less. It's trialed, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home. It looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects, and they can help you out help you save on some money, too. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. There's no wonder they're the best picture porch certified each of the last 4 years. Guys, save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
It's just 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And a lot of good comments here that I want to get to. But first, we have to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, this story has Walmart, a guy cheating on her girlfriend, and both of them working at Walmart, and her catching him there.
Okay.
John, you have the audio for this?
I pulled it, but then, like, it was very, like, you couldn't really hear the guy.
Okay. Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, but, and the guy that was doing the, filming the girl when she was watching him, the cameraman is very creepy because he will zoom in on her face, and then he'll zoom in on her breasts, back to her face, and back to the breasts. And he wasn't being subtle at all.
Well, I guess these to catch a cheater guys are going around doing this, right?
Yeah, they are. But that it's a weird, weird YouTube page.
Is that show still a thing, Cheaters?
I don't know. I don't think so.
That show in Dallas, right?
Oh, really?
I think that's where that show was filmed.
Yeah, I had a friend who was a private detective who did some work for them, as I recall.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, my friend did.
Oh.
But Yeah, that's which, by the way, if you ever need a private detective, I got you covered. But no, basically, so this catch a cheater, what they did was dude's chilling outside of Walmart on his break. Girl comes up with a ukulele and says he's cute. They exchange phone numbers and agree to go on a date. And yeah, he was totally being set up.
Oh, man.
And the girlfriend, of course.
That's worse than catfishing.
It is. It is. Honestly.
These hoes ain't loyal.
See, the good thing about being old and disgusting is I know if some chick comes up on me with a ukulele wanting to go get crazy, that it's a setup.
Yeah.
I can basically say, sorry, thanks, no. Take your ukulele and beat it. That is your Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
859. I'll be going home this week to get to Churchill for the Derby Oaks. Have any favorites? You'd be posting anything on HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. I've been answering this every, it seems like every 5 minutes on Twitter, but I guess I'll write something tomorrow that kind of lays out everything I got coming this week. So there'll be, you're going to have more Derby coverage than you've ever had. We're going to have you covered. So don't worry. Houston Sports and Stuff will take care of you. And also, really good preview of the Spurs-Rockets series today on the site if you want to go check
it out. Who wrote it?
A guy named Jeff Springmeier, who is...
what's he know?
He knows a lot of stuff. He's pretty good.
All right.
So...
take your word for it.
Somebody said Cheaters was based in Dallas, and the first host got stabbed by somebody outed on the show.
Oh, that is not surprising.
No, it's
yeah, that's
not.
That's a risky job if you're that guy, because you're like,
well, you're gonna piss somebody off every time.
Honestly, the best person to host that show would be a woman, because
somebody'd still whack her too.
Yeah, but I mean, most guys think that that breaks bro code, so it's. Like, if a woman does it, okay, you kind of expect that. So when guy when a
I'm
guy,
not sure I'm following you here.
When a guy
so women are supposed to
when a guy's doing that job, it just it makes dudes angrier.
But you don't always have to rat out your I mean you could be ratting out women too.
Yeah, oh they do sometimes.
Okay.
And then it'd be awesome to see the chicks fight. The host fight with
isn't
the
isn't that what Mari does
with the slutty chick.
With the,
yeah, and Mari always has great ratings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This should be God. I should be in TV. Lamont says, "Fred, I've been listening to you about McCullers. Tonight, he's got to show me he's an ass kicker."
He's been good at home and bad on the road so far, which is common with a lot of young pitchers. But I expect him to pitch pretty well tonight. How about Dallas Keuchel?
He's amazing.
Who
he's been so good.
He has, and man, he's just looking like 2015 Keuchel again. If he can keep up. Obviously, he's not going to keep up his numbers where they are. That's yeah. ridiculous. But if he can keep that up, the one problem that I kind of see with the team right now is they're coming off a losing week, and Keuchel had won two of those games.
Yeah.
So the other guys, and that's been the concern all year. And now they're taking on the Rangers, who have owned them. The Rangers are their daddies. They need to at least get out of this with a split.
I also think that McCullers has to start getting deeper into games.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gotten into the seventh inning once.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
Well, and you can live with that, but he's got to pitch better on the road. He can't.
Yeah.
And that last game, he never really gave him a chance.
Nope. And the Oakland game was worse than that.
Let's squeeze on Darren real quick. What's up, Darren?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports, Darren.
Nice. So not sure if you remember, but I called literally 2 weeks ago, and I was the one complaining that the Texans finally had to have some balls and actually draft a quarterback for once and stop going to other teams and try to pluck their backups in hopes and dreams of getting their franchise quarterback. And for once, I'm really excited for this team because I feel like they can actually win now because I really feel Deshaun Watson is their franchise quarterback. That kid is going to be really good. I was the one that called the guy from Buffalo 2 years ago, Tyrod Taylor, and you guys thought I was crazy, but I told you like I was going to be pretty functional. I really think Deshaun Watson is going to be a lot better than him. I think you guys finally got the franchise quarterback, and as a fan, I can't wait to see him play.
We'll see, but I will say this.
Now, wait, I'm going to correct him. He didn't say Tyrod Taylor would be functional. He said Tyrod Taylor would be a star. That I remember.
I don't remember it, but I mean, Tyrod Taylor is about that. He's functional.
Yeah.
But, of course, if you're a Texans fan, almost every fan, save Cleveland, is excited. Cleveland and maybe, well, and even Cleveland, I think, is pretty excited this year, even without getting a quarterback.
Everyone
but Chicago feels great about what they did on draft day. I mean, I think besides Bears fans, every fan is like, yep, we got some good players here. So, I mean, it, just like everyone this time last year thought Brock Osweiler was going to be so great because he's the quarterback of your team. And, yeah, they made a ballsy move. I hope it works out because, God, it would be really interesting to cover a team that has a chance to do something.
I feel good about it. Doesn't mean it'll work out, but I feel good about it. 832, shame on you. Let Ronda Rousey host Cheaters so we can see her get knocked out more than twice a year. Oh, shame.
I thought it was, you were saying that because it'd be fun to watch her fight like regular women who are just really angry they got busted.
Or men who are angry.
Yeah. Well, that's a good call.
See her kick their ass. That would be fun, but yeah. All right. Jack says Cheaters was fake as hell. The stabbing was BS. Wouldn't surprise me. I have to ask my friend about that. He could probably tell me. All right, quick break. Got a lot more to get to in just an hour left. Man, it's flying by on a Monday. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.